From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. Today on the phone I have is the fourth candidate for the third district seat on the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors to call into the hot seat, Sheila Kuehl. How are you, Ms. Kuehl? Thank you for taking the time to call into the hot seat.
I'm very well today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And I'd like to remind everybody, this is a continuation of the Hot Seat's Board of Supervisors candidate series. I would like to remind everybody that I will be sticking to my election protocol. Now, I have lots of questions for the candidates and not a lot of time, so without further ado, let's get started. Why do you want to be a member of the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors?
Well, for 14 years, I was in the California legislature, 6 in the Assembly and 8 in the Senate, and I sat on virtually every committee there. I chaired the Health and Human Services Committee. I was Speaker Pro Tem. I chaired the Natural Resources and Water Committee. And what that means, actually, is I learned a great deal about health care, human services, foster children, mental health, transportation, the whole panoply of issues that the county has dominion over. I'm sure you know the county is very different from any cities. Cities essentially do land use and zoning and tree trimming and garbage collecting and planning, but they do not do health care, mental health, foster kids, juvenile justice, and all the things essentially that the county is supposed to do. So with term limits, I was termed out in 2008, just at the point where I felt like I had really grasped the huge panoply of issues and information and had a good deal of experience with them. So I think this is a very good way for me to continue my public service and use all the things that I learned.
So why are you running now?
Because the seat opened up. Essentially, there were no term limits for county supervisors. And then in 2000, the supervisors voted term limits for themselves. Zeb Yaroslavsky has represented this district for more than 30 years, and he's termed out this year.
Okay. Why or how do you believe you know the 3rd District well enough to represent it on a very powerful governmental body?
Well, I know the 3rd District better probably than any of the other candidates because I represented it for almost 15 years. My Senate seat covered more than half of what is the 3rd Supervisorial District. The San Fernando Valley from Universal City all the way west to the Ventura County line. So, you know, through Sherman Oaks and Woodland Hills and Agoura Hills and all the towns in between. And on the other side of the mountains from Hollywood out to the beach. So that is a giant chunk of the 3rd Supervisorial District, and I know it very well. I've lived here since I was in college on the west side, though I grew up by the Coliseum. And I think of all the candidates, I frankly know the various areas well. None of the others really have either represented or worked in the Valley, for instance. And that's a big chunk of the district.
Which senatorial district did you represent?
It was a 23rd senatorial district, not that that means anything to people, but as I said, it was about half the San Fernando Valley and the western part of L.A. from Hollywood west out to the ocean.
And which part of the district do you live in now, if you're comfortable saying?
Of course I am. I love it. I live in Santa Monica, and I've lived here probably, I think, since 85, since I moved over from. I went to UCLA, so I moved into the western part of L.A. when I was going to college and just sort of stayed there because that's where my work has been as well.
Do you think that is too many politicians in the same city? Because you'd be living there and Richard Bloom lives there who represents 8050. Do you think that's unfair to the rest of the district that you've got two politicians clustered in one city?
Not really, because right now we don't have anybody. In addition, Henry, who's termed out from Congress, lived further east. Ted Lieu, who is running for Henry's seat and is our senator now, lives in Torrance. So it's really not clustered at all. And also, I don't know where the new senator is going to live, but over the years, Santa Monica has actually provided a lot of very active people who have been elected, but I think you would find that Tom Hayden represented the whole area. I represented the whole area. I mean, you'd have to ask people in the San Fernando Valley, but essentially you don't stick to your own city. And that's why I think it's important that I had experience representing this whole area and not just one city.
Okay. And just because this is unique to you, You've been a politician for a long time, and you have been a politician before. Why should people, or I guess this can be incorporated, is why should people trust you, especially given that some people are weary of career politicians?
Well, I'm not a career politician. I essentially have worked longer than 14 years of my life. That was the chunk that I spent in the legislature in two different houses, in 12 different committees, in five different chairmanships. I mean, it's a great variety. People talk about politicians, but essentially I'd like to talk about electeds. You know, it's public service, and it gives you a lot of experience that you can bring, that I will bring, to this job. And in terms of trusting me, I would like to say modestly that 2 years in a row I was chosen by a vote of the press, the staff in the Capitol, my fellow colleagues, and a bunch of lobbyists as the assembly member with the most intelligence and the most integrity. I think my reputation is one of integrity. You'd have to ask my constituents, of course, but I think that it's experience that makes a difference. This is not an entry-level position. This runs a county of 10 million people, health care for 1 million people, mental health services for 250,000 people, 26,000 foster kids, and another 13,000 we're trying to keep out of the system. It's really important to have some notion of what you're doing before you sit in this seat.
Okay. And what is your current position, and what did you do in the past that makes you qualified to sit on the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors? I guess because you've answered part of that, what do you currently do?
Well, I can talk about the past as well. I was the founder of the California Women's Law Center. I was a law professor at USC, UCLA, and at Loyola. Since I was termed out, I was a Regents Professor at UCLA in public policy, and I'm currently the founding director of the Public Policy Institute at Santa Monica College.
Okay. And if a third district resident were to come up to you and ask why they should vote for you, what would you say?
I would say that we've been served very well over the past 30 years by our current supervisor. And in this three-year period, four of the supervisors are going to be termed out. So vote for me because I have the experience to hit the ground running. I know what I can do, and I know what the law is and what the policy issues are in health care, in mental health, in foster kids, in juvenile justice, in transportation, for the sheriff's department. There is such a panoply of issues. It's a very steep learning curve, and I think voting for me, you get someone, you know what my record is, you know what my integrity is, you know what my experience is, and you know that I'll hit the ground running.
Okay, and continuing on now and talking about some of the other people that will be elected with you, there will be a new first district supervisor, a new sheriff, and a new assessor. How will you work with your colleagues on the Board of Supervisors to do what is best for your constituents and the county as a whole?
Well, I have worked very well as an elected person with the supervisors in various aspects. Both of the Republicans, Mike Antonovich and Don Kanabe, who will be there for two more years only after this election, and then they're termed out as well. Mark Ridley Thomas and Hilda Solis, who looks like she may win the first district, and I all serve together in state government in various capacities. I think we worked together well. We know each other well. And, you know, we're respectful friends and colleagues. I think that really helps. The other thing is the three of us still have good contacts in Washington and in the state capitol, and that means actually bringing more budget money to the county, and I think that's also important.
Okay, and how will you work with the new sheriff to reform the department and ensure it does not continue to go downhill?
Well, there's two things about it, and a lot of it depends on who the new sheriff is and whether the new sheriff wants to work with us. As you know very well, the supervisors do not have actual authority over the sheriff's department. Sheriff is independently elected. What we do have, however, is the ability to put together a citizens oversight commission, which I strongly support, more power possibly for the inspector, because, of course, you can't delegate power unless you have it yourself, but we could insist that more information be given to the supervisors and to the inspector about individual deputies. And then I think the main notion is, how will you work together, is your question, which is really the key to it. One of my fortes in my public service has been bringing people together from disparate points of view and parts of my district to get something done. Essentially, that's what you have to do. And I think working with the sheriff, shaping the budget that the supervisors give to the sheriff so that we actually get more of a say over what is done, I think that's very important.
Okay. And two questions of clarification. First is, you talked about depending on who the sheriff is, do you have a preference of who you'd like to see in the office?
I have not taken an official position on it because there are 2 million constituents in this supervisorial district. They have different ideas, too, and I don't believe that it's a good idea to alienate one or the other. I think the public discourse that comes out of a race is probably the best thing for my constituents.
Okay. And the other question I have is, you talked about you're going to try to, you possibly pressuring these, the sheriff, to give more information to the Board of Supervisors. How do you plan to do that?
Through county council. I think county council has been put in a very difficult position because he or she always has to represent the sheriff and the supervisors. And when they disagree, county council has said, you know, there's nothing I can do, but I don't agree. I think county council can pressure legally any office to be more transparent, and that's what I would do. You cannot force the sheriff to turn over this information just as a supervisor. You can't sue them because your own counsel is also their counsel. So I think my background as an attorney would help in getting county council to convince the sheriff that it's in their best interest legally and publicly to give this information.
Okay. And how will you work with the new assessor to ensure properties are assessed fairly, integrity returns to the office, and what happened under the current assessor does not happen again?
Well, I have endorsed in that race. I endorsed Jeffrey Prang, whom I've known for 30 years, who is a man of high integrity. If he's elected, I don't think there'll be any problem in that office. He's a bit of a wonk, which is exactly what you want, I think, for the office. And I would trust that he would be a very fair, very good, and a very transparent assessor. I think it would be very easy to work with him. I also think that it's incumbent on the supervisors to speak up when they see something wrong. It seems to me in the past they've been a little laid back about identifying problems in the Department of Children and Family Services, in transportation, in a lot of the areas, sort of waiting for them to straighten themselves out. But I think it's very important to be a bully pulpit as well.
And specifically, how you talked about, you gave some specifics about working with the sheriff, and if your choice of Mr. Prang is elected, what exactly would you do to work with him?
I'm sorry, not the sheriff, but you mean Mr. Prang as assessor?
Yes, because you explained different ways you try to work with the sheriff. What are some specific ways you'd like to work with Mr. Prang if he's elected?
I don't think Mr. Prang would need the same kind of pressure in order to do his job correctly. I have a lot of admiration for him. I think also other candidates running for the office seem to have a lot of integrity. So I don't think it would be the same kind of pressure. I think what it involves is communication. That is, what are the issues that are arising? I would hear, for instance, from my constituents, I just got a new assessment on my house. It's way beyond what it's worth. What can I do? And one of the great things that I think serving in statewide office, as I did, teaches you is how to have a very good district staff and how to make certain that district staff serves such a large constituency. In the Senate, I had 1 million constituents. And that seems like a lot. And in this office, if I'm elected, would have 2 million constituents. So perhaps we would be hearing about something that involves the assessor's office. I would feel very comfortable contacting the assessor after my staff had talked to their staff and seen if they can solve the problem about the fact that there might be an endemic problem, something larger that his office would need to look at.
Okay. And what will you do to help the assessor modernize the office?
I'm not certain what the IT issues are in the office, if there are information technology issues, and that would be a budget issue for the supervisors. I think that the assessor should have all the information tools that he needs, and that would modernize the office enormously. I think one of the issues in the county is really an antiquated and growing more antiquated set of computer systems that actually don't communicate with each other. It's very expensive to upgrade, but I think the investment is really worth it in the long run.
And would you vote, in terms of the budget, would you vote to give the assessor money to modernize his office technologically?
I would, but I'd want to see very clearly what the proposals are before voting a specific amount of money, because in my service, one of the committees I sat on was a committee that oversaw information technology for the state and the proposals, and they were all so padded. It was amazing how padded they were. It didn't matter if it was the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Child Support Collection System. It seemed to me, I felt, actually, we ought to hire some kind of hacker or pirate or somebody who could tell us how the system was going to be gamed. So, yes, I would support money to modernize the system, but I would really want somebody to give me a good idea about whether the proposals were actually fair and doable.
Okay. And moving on now, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department has had lots of problems in the last year. You've already said this, but just again, in response to this question, do you support a Citizens Oversight Commission?
I do, very strongly. And in addition, when we talk about, and I hope we will, about the juvenile camps, I support an oversight commission for the juvenile justice system as well.
Okay. And in terms of the oversight commission for the Sheriff's Department as a whole, what authority would you want this to have, and would you want their recommendations to be binding?
Legally, we cannot make their recommendations binding because we don't run the sheriff's office. So if the supervisors establish a Citizens Oversight Commission, unlike the city, where the city of Los Angeles, for instance, hires the police chief, supervises the police chief, et cetera, and can impose those conditions on the police department, the supervisors really can't. So the question really is, what can the supervisors do and how far will I go? And what I would like to do in establishing the Citizens Oversight Commission is to make certain that hearings are public, the information published is public, it doesn't just get filed away on a bookshelf the way it has in the past. This would not be the first time that there has been some report. The value of an ongoing Citizens Oversight Commission is that information continues to be developed, supervisors can push for more information, give sunshine to the information, make public statements, use a bully pulpit, and try to pressure the sheriff to do something.
In terms of actual authority, what authority would you want this commission to have?
The commission should have authority to get as much information from the sheriff as possible. I'm sure other candidates are telling you they want the oversight commission to tell the sheriff what to do. And what I'm telling you is legally that cannot happen. So within the bounds of reality here, what I want the commission to have authority to do is subpoena power. I want them to be able to get as much information about what's going wrong in the jails and outside the jails, on the street, the overuse of force, et cetera, individual incidents to be reported.
Okay.
But, you've seen even with the chief of police in L.A. apologized today for not telling the city council and the mayor about police disabling cameras in the cars. It was like... and they run the police department, so it's very difficult. I think pushing is the whole point.
Okay, and continuing on now with the other responsibilities, which is being a jailer, essentially, would you support building a new jail facility?
I do not.
Okay. Even to replace the existing one without increasing capacity?
Well, I think that it can be rebuilt, but when you say building a new jail facility, it's a very expensive proposition, and it doesn't get us anywhere. Let's talk about realignment. There are two kinds of prisoners that the county is dealing with because of current events, as it were. In one of them, the governor is required to reduce the population in the state prisons. In order to reduce the population in the state prisons, he's having felons sentenced to county jail. So we have new, not real high level, but some high level offenders. The second part of realignment is that low level offenders are being sentenced as well in county jails, as they always were, but they are serving less time because of the overcrowding that's being caused in county jails. So I like the idea of much more rehabilitation service, preparation to be released for nonviolent, non-sex offenders, non-drug dealers, which is what the subject of realignment money really is. If those monies are used for rehabilitation, then the prisoners being transferred from the state prisons can serve their time in the current size facility. I know that it needs to be upgraded because of safety issues, and I do support that, but I have never supported building a new jail.
Okay, and moving on now, there are some identifying features of the district, such as the beach and some iconic cities like Beverly Hills. What will you do to make sure that these iconic places are not destroyed or taken advantage of by corporations or government agencies?
Well, I'm not certain what you mean by taken advantage of or destroyed, but my history as the chair of the Natural Resources and Water Committee, for instance, allowed me to participate with ZEV, with Assemblymember Fran Pavley, and we bought up half the Santa Monica Mountains, for instance, to put them into the public domain. In terms of protecting the beaches, I carried the bill to open access points to the beaches that were being closed by homeowners along the beach. I think public access is the most important thing. However, in terms of the cities, I represented Beverly Hills for 8 years in the Senate, had a lot of good contact with them, and I believe they're very strongly protecting themselves. They're designating many, many more of their sites as historic sites so that they're not destroyed, making certain that they're not taken over. I think the most important thing between the 88 cities and the county and the county supervisors is collaboration so that you can make certain that where the county has some responsibility, they're on the same page as the cities. I think Beverly Hills will remain the iconic city that it has been, and what the county needs to do to protect its cities is to help clean up toxic sites, to help keep them from happening, to help where there are unincorporated areas nearby in maintaining the same sort of character next to the cities. And I think my experience in working with all of the cities in this district, I think will give me a leg up.
Okay. And there are also diverse populations, including large homeless and veteran populations. What will you do to help these people achieve better lives in the 3rd District, and what will you do to provide resources to help and support them?
Well, I'm supported by a great number of people in the homeless and housing, affordable housing communities, and we've had a lot of conversations about what to do across the district. As you know, the Northeast Valley is in the district, Sylmar, Pacoima, Panorama City, Sun Valley, City of San Fernando, where four of the assembly members, city council members support me. In terms of homelessness and housing, there's a deep relationship. What we're looking at now across the district actually started when I was chairing the board of the Ocean Park Community Center on the west side of Los Angeles. OPCC provides most of the homeless services on the West End. And as chair of that board, and I served on that board for many years, we opened a number of shelters and then transitional housing, but we discovered that was really not sufficient. What is needed is permanent supportive housing. And what that means is permanent housing for homeless people, including our large homeless veterans population, that has access to mental health services, substance abuse services, help with, you know, finding food. I mean, all of the panoply of services. Because we have a lot of chronically homeless people. Chronically homeless is homeless for more than a year with an additional issue like substance abuse or mental health. But in addition, we have every day newly homeless people. And the newest thinking about that is called rapid rehousing. And that does not have to be centralized where there are a lot of services. What people really need is just to get back into a place to live with their family. So rapid rehousing is now being utilized all around the county in what they call scattered sites. Just get somebody, you know, into a home. So I support both of those approaches. And I think my experience with the Ocean Park Community Center set of services will help.
And how do you plan on the first part of your response you mentioned, which you just need to get people and have more affordable housing and get these people into housing? How do you plan on putting that into place?
Well, there are some very good funds coming to the county in two different ways, actually more, but let's talk about these two. One of them would be called boomerang funds from the end of the redevelopment agencies. Redevelopment agencies used to get, in their cities, 100% of the tax increment that came from improving areas in the city. They no longer get those. What that means is those tax revenues are divided up the way all other tax revenues are, and the city gets a big chunk. So we're going to get hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in boomerang funds every year from redevelopment money. The second thing is, I know that you've been reading about what we're going to get in terms of the auctions about cap and trade, that is the greenhouse gas law. Several billion coming into the state, and LA County stands to get about 100 or 150 million a year. Some of that can also be used for affordable housing. That's what Daryl Steinberg, who's the president pro tem of the Senate, wants to do, and I support that. We already have 1,000 new units of housing for homeless people surrounded by services. And various of our nonprofits are collaborating with the county and with the city. What I want to do is have the city of L.A. and the county of L.A. work much more closely together because they're headed off in two different directions. They're not pooling their resources. So I think the money is there for rapid rehousing for newly homeless people. I think the money is there for at least 3,000 new housing units for homeless veterans. If you wait for the VA to act, they never act. They haven't done anything in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Those buildings are still sitting fallow. So it's all nonprofits like PATH and others.
I need to stop you just because I need to ask another question now. Along the same lines, what will you do about mental health treatment in the County of Los Angeles to ensure there is a greater and equal access to care?
Well, I think the mental health department is really strapped and beleaguered. They do not have sufficient resources in order to provide mental health services at the juvenile camps, in the jails, in the hospitals, on the streets, all the places that they're required to do it. I think that we can get some more resources to them, especially if we have a new area that deals only with our children. So that would be foster kids and the camps. I think that would be a very important aspect. I think they should also be much more integrated in the county clinics and the clinics that we do in conjunction with nonprofits.
So would you support increasing their budget?
I would support increasing their budget, but much more what I'd like to do is much more co-locating with nonprofits.
Okay, so you're interested in public, or I guess in government and 501c3 partnerships.
That's correct. 501c3 is also private, as you know. So when people talk about public-private partnerships, it doesn't just mean, Apple or the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. Private partnerships are also nonprofits. So that kind of public-private, we already have a lot of them across the Northeast Valley, the Venice Family Clinic, the Saban Family Clinic, for instance, in the 3rd District, and I think we can do much more of that. That also reduces cost rather than adding to cost.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and moving on now, I'd like to ask, just because we're running short on time, a yes or no question. Do you support adding seats to the Board of Supervisors?
I don't oppose it, but I don't think it's a panacea. This was on the ballot, and the people voted it down. I think if they don't like politicians, they certainly don't want more of them. So I don't believe this would pass if it came up again. Looking practically at it, I have to say that adding, let's say, four more supervisors with staff, offices, district offices, administrative overhead, et cetera, actually pulls a lot of money into administration that I don't think is necessary. As I said, I represented a million people in the Senate. The key is staff. The key is district offices. And that, I think, is one of my fortes.
So then are you for increasing the amount of money each supervisor has to increase their staff?
No, not really. I think it's adequate.
Okay. And moving on now, and this is the last lines of questions because we're running short on time. As a Los Angeles County supervisor, you would get to sit on the Metro Board of Directors. And currently, there are two contested projects. One is the Green Line and the other the Purple Line. The Green Line is under heavy criticism because it does not extend all the way to the airport, and there are no plans, at least at the present time, to bring it into the airport. What is your position about this issue?
I think there will be three lines that will bring people to the airport. In the new proposal to extend Measure R, you will find that there's a proposal that the San Fernando Valley really likes, which is to have a line from the Valley to LAX that goes probably under the Sepulveda Pass. This would be a very important line for the Valley, and it would go all the way to the airport. The Crenshaw line is now being built, and Mark Ridley Thomas wants that to go to the airport, and the Green Line already gets sort of within the vicinity. What I would like is to have all three of those lines meet, not necessarily all the way into the Tom Bradley terminal, which adds $3 billion in cost, but at Terminal 1 or Terminal 7, which, as you know, is at the edges of the airport. Let people come off the trains, all three of those lines, check their bags, get their seat, and then build a people mover that goes around the airport from 1 to 7 or 7 to 1, stopping at every terminal. It's so much cheaper than bringing a train all the way into the airport. And that's what I suppose.
Okay. And the other line into questions, the Purple Line, is under the microscope because it's currently slated to run underneath Beverly Hills High School, which is controversial because of the oil wells that run underneath it. The less expensive alternative is running it north under Santa Monica Boulevard. Which Purple Line alignment do you support, the northern alignment under Santa Monica Boulevard or the southern alignment under Beverly Hills High School?
I think maybe it's important to know that there is a third way being discussed, which would still go under the high school, but not under any buildings, and further north. It looks like the Santa Monica line, which I originally supported and still think makes more sense, has been somewhat undermined, and I don't mean that as a joke, by some very serious sort of seismic issues. Now, there's not a place in L.A. that doesn't have seismic issues, but I think there's so many people that don't, you know, want it down Santa Monica at the moment that it looks like it's going to have to be somewhere south.
Okay.
I don't like it going under the high school. And I've spoken to several people. The mayor of Beverly Hills has endorsed me, and we've had lots of discussions about this. And I support not having it go under the high school buildings, but potentially a little further north. And that may be a compromise that they're all working on, actually, today.
Okay. And last question, yes or no question. Do you believe more work needs to be done on the 405?
No. There's
okay.
been enough work on the 405. Everybody's lost sleep for years.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, and thank you very much for joining me in the hot seat today. Ms. Kuhl, it was a pleasure. The hot seat after hours starts right now. You can email the hot seat at inbox, thehotseatwithmaxsports@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSportsTV. You can also read and follow my blog at MaxSportsTV.blogspot.com, and you can subscribe to the hot seat newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to AnnenbergRadio.org/podcast and click on the link underneath the hot seat description and enter your email address. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next time with 3rd District Board of Supervisors candidate Rudy Melendez.